Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Eric, just finishing up your career at Syracuse, just what this has meant to you. You know, you fought to get to a bowl game. You fought to win a bowl game. Just everything in this moment. Just what's going through your mind?
I mean, it's kind of starting to hit me now. I'm just very thankful. You know, I've been through a lot. And, to have Coach Babers believe in me, it just means a lot. You know, Coach Schaefer brought me in here originally. All I want to do is compete. And I'm gonna get grief for crying, man, but I've been through a lot here. I'm very thankful.
Couldn't be more proud of the 2018 seniors to end in this fashion against a rival opponent with us historically that goes so far back in our history. And to win the type of game that we won, you know, it wasn't like those other games that we've been watching for the last 2 days. Senior class is unbelievable. Senior class will be etched in stone. I'm not sure, I don't want to say this with all the tax problems we're having in this United States, but I'm not sure they're going to pay for anything for the rest of their lives in the state of New York or anywhere close to Syracuse in the county. I mean, these guys really did some amazing, amazing things. When it comes to Eric Dungy, the tall tales are true. The stories are true. You know, we're going to be telling them for a very long time, and after 10 or 15 years, people are going to be calling baloney cheese that there's no way that he threw an interception and ripped the ball out of a defensive lineman's hand and got the ball back for a first and 10, or that he got moved left, moved right, moved left, and found Mo Neal down the middle for a huge play that changed the game. The guy is amazing, and he has the heart of a lion.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
All right, what's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. So, the intro was a little long, I know, but I thought there was so much good stuff. I had to play it all. The emotion of Dungy, just, I'm sure everybody's seen it, but just awesome. An awesome night for Syracuse. They have their first 10-win season in 17 years, only the 10th in team history, and they did it so by becoming Camping World Bowl champions, beating West Virginia 34-18 in front of 41,125 fans. Joe repped the Q's Militia out there in Orlando, yes, and on ESPN. He repped the Q's Militia on ESPN. So proud of him for that. So a special team with a special quarterback. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you. But first, there are still bowl games left. And you don't want to be that bum sitting around with all your friends and your relatives watching these bowl games, not having any skin in the game. You know, it's the best time of year. Bowl season, heading into a basketball season. Make sure you're ready for daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet on is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. Join MyBookie today, and they will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the rest of this bowl season. Use promo code Q's25 when you deposit to activate that offer. That's promo code Q's25 at my bookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, so Joe.
Who? Yes. We won.
Let's start here.
Awesome.
Here. It took you 12 hours You say
12 and a half.
12 and a half hours to do an 8.5 hour trip from Raleigh to Orlando, right?
And no thanks to 95 in the Carolinas.
And you got there. You got there, got in the hotel, kind of laid low a little bit. Maybe not too much, but a little bit. And you spent the whole day there. So how was it? How was the crowd? What was the ratio inside the facility, inside the
Well, it was good. We had fun. We went down to the downtown Orlando around 11:30 ish, 12, and went to a bar down there. Went down to the bar that's actually the Orlando. I think it's the Orlando City, the third soccer team they have down there, and I guess they have like a soccer bar down there.
Oh, that sounds boring. Go on.
Well, there was another bar across the street that had some West Virginia guys. We look over and we see some orange shirts at the bar, so we went in that one, and it was funny because it pretty much ended up being that bar was filled with Syracuse fans, and then the other bar was filled with West Virginia fans because everyone kind of saw it. You saw the West Virginia fans kind of walk by, see the orange, and then look next door and go over there. Hey, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it was
sure,
kind of
– sure.
You know, ran into a couple guys that were from New Syracuse and a bunch of guys that have been fans for a while. Just really excited about it, talking to them about it, took some pictures. When we got to the game, it was pretty obvious pretty fast that it was definitely orange dominated. And again, and like what I told you, probably like 70-30, maybe 65-35, I would say is probably the ratio of fans. So
yeah, it was, I know it was sprinkled in on both sides, but the orange side was very orange and the blue side, maybe because of the colors, but the orange stood out over there. So
yeah,
the blue and yellow.
Overall, I mean, Orlando, it's a growing city. They got a lot of new stuff down there. The downtown area was really nice. They did have this random, like, really fast train. It was really, really close to the bars. And a lot of people actually questioned it. But it seemed a little, I don't know, dangerous. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, we had a great time.
Did you take the fast train anywhere?
No.
No?
No. But it was going down a lot. And
what did really you do? Did you do any tailgating? About?
Yeah. Stop by. We left the bar around 2:30. Went up to the stadium.
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
It was great. That just sound bitter. You sound bitter there, buddy.
No, I'm not bitter at all. I was happy to have you there. I was jealous. I really was because I just wanted to be there and have a good time with you. And I mean, yeah. I'm just glad you were able to go. I'm glad you finally got there. I felt bad when it took you so long to get there and everything, but
yeah, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, I
ran into my mom and my aunt were there. They were at a tailgate that had a bunch of former players. Got a picture with Dan Conley, the former Syracuse linebacker.
Yeah, he begged you to come on, didn't he?
No, I mean, you know,
pretty much.
I'm not gonna say that he did. I mean, he kind of joked around a little bit, like, you know, how come you haven't called to interview me? You know what I mean? But
all he's got to do is
everyone
DM
was
me.
Having fun, so you really don't know how serious. But you know,
right? Sure.
Saw Zach Mahoney, a couple other former players, so it was a good time. Then I moved on from there, ran into some people I knew, a couple family members I didn't think or didn't know were going to be down there. So all in all, it was a good time.
Awesome. Well,
and then obviously the win on top of it.
Right, I mean, and that leads us to this. A recap in 2 minutes or less is brought to us by JP Mulligan's Happy Hour every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, Trivia Tuesdays, every NFL game every Sunday, and of course, they play every Syracuse game. And when you go there for Syracuse games, it's dollar off Labatt's. I mean, hello. I don't know who else is doing that, if anybody, and if anybody else is. They're copying, and it's, you know, they're just...
Well, it sounds like if you like Labatt's, it's probably your place to go.
Yeah, I mean...
Especially if you like wings or a good burger.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Uber there, Uber back, you're golden. All right.
Yep.
All right, well, you know what? It took Eric Dungy the first half to find his rhythm, but when he did, he would not be denied, becoming the MVP of the only bowl game he'll get to play in. His 21 completions are the most by any Syracuse quarterback in a bowl game. His 303 yards passing put him over the top with 9,340, the most career passing yards in Syracuse history. He surpassed Ryan Nassib with that. And he gave us one more oh crap, hell yes moment. I could be more colorful, but he scrambled back 20 yards. I counted it out. He scrambled back around 20 yards, completed a pass to Mo Neal. Then Neal masterfully turned it into a 42-yard gain, catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage and making some moves all the way out. I think it was inside the 10-yard line. It has been an absolute privilege to root for Dungy every time he's taken the field. And I can say, for me, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it, and I've been saying it all year, I'm going to miss it. But the future looks bright as, and I know the music stopped, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because I'm not done. The future looks bright. Transfers Abdul Adams and Tristan Jackson combined for 3 of the 4 Syracuse touchdowns in their first ever game in orange uniforms. The first touchdown for each of them were both in dramatic fashion. Custis led all receivers with 80 yards on 5 catches. He followed up Taj Harris with 55. Yeah, he was followed up by Taj Harris with 55. Taj broke Shelby Hill's school record for receiving yards as a freshman by 7 with 565. That's pretty awesome. Nice. This after Harris took one of many cheap shots by the West Virginia defense, which led to the ejection of Kenny Robertson for targeting, and that's when Joe was on TV. He was beside himself. You were absolutely beside yourself.
Right in front of us, dude.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
And it was a very obviously blatantly targeting call. Mo Neal led all rushers with 42 yards. Alan Stritzinger had the only turnover for the Orange, a 20-yard interception. Another returning player in Andre Sisco led the defense in 9 tackles. And Joe, I want to first talk about Dungy. Let's hit up Dungy real quick. But then after that, you can't help but notice the talent on this team. As they say, the future's so bright, you got to wear shades, right? I mean, these kids, all 4 touchdowns were scored by returning players, minus the pass from Dungy. So first, Dungy, how do you think he came out? He stayed resilient. He had a rough first half. It was the whole team looked rusty, and he came out and just killed it.
Yeah, well, West Virginia, they run it's not a normal kind of defense. They run a 3-3 stack with 5 D-backs, and they kind of blitz from everywhere. And
you call them all D-bags?
No, D-backs, defensive backs.
No, it's a joke.
They kind of blitz from all over the place. They stunt really, and they just have – it's a really quirky defense that you don't really see every day. So it's, kind of difficult to sometimes get used to. So I think that was part of it. And, I think sometimes – again, it's Dungy, so sometimes he tries to make too much out of something that might not be there, which he did on that one play where –
He avoided
the sack and threw that interception over at the sideline. I mean, he had no business throwing that ball.
But, should have just got it out of bounds.
Right. Or into the ground in front of him, something to where they can't, But, I mean, overall, like you said, he ended up – realistically, half after the third quarter, we were still down 18-17. So we scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. So really for 3 quarters, I mean, you could see it start to pick up in the third quarter, but we still got outscored in the third quarter. So overall, though, he's just done what he's always done. And our defense stayed resilient, and he did what he had to do, like he normally has, done in the past. And obviously, he finally gets a chance to get to a bowl game. And he ended up having even if it was one big quarter, it ended up being enough to win the MVP and to run away with the game. So I was pumped, man.
Yeah.
Especially that one play, like you said, that one last play with Mo Neal. I mean, it was awesome. He caught that, and he was running. That was right toward us, right on the sideline. So I mean, there was a couple plays like that, like the Taj Harris ejection, like you were talking about, the Stritchinger interception, that Mo Neal run that came down. That was right there in front of the sideline. So I mean, you could just see it, like the moves that Mo Neal made. I had perfect angles for it, and just to know that, Dungy had to do what he had to do. I mean, you have no business throwing that ball. But
yeah,
he throws it up. Mo Neal, he makes the adjustment and he turns it into a huge play.
Yeah, and he was getting hit too when he threw that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So he was going back.
Oh, yeah.
He was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo Neal, I know Dungy gets a lot of credit for that, but Mo Neal turned that into – that could have been a completion for just less
probably
of a loss.
Probably a loss, yeah.
It would have been a completion for maybe 5 yards instead of 20.
Right.
Mo Neal just, dink and dunked and hurtling, half hurtling and freaking tripping over himself. He made it happen. So it was awesome. But what would the Dungy's last game be without a moment like that? Seriously,
Right.
So
you're right. Because, when you watch it, you know, when you told me that he got the MVP and he threw for 303 yards, I was like stunned, because watching the game, you don't really think about it like that, unless you're on, you know, watching it from TV and you see the stats continually pop up. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you're not seeing the replays. You're not seeing.
So it was a quiet 303, you know, and they had a whole bunch of different runners in there and stuff. So again, I mean, it was a lot more defensive of a game than probably a lot of people would have thought. You know,
I did expect our defense to handle Jack Allison a little better, but
The guy's talented, obviously.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I mean, he's, you know, like,
he's okay.
Obviously, he's got to bulk up. He's got to get
he's
a little bit bigger. But, I mean, everyone's got to do that. Dungy,
he looks like
Dolezal
with pads on at 6'4", 6'5". He's not a very big guy. He's not very big. He's tall. He's lanky.
Yeah.
But he's an accurate passer. I'll give him that. He throws.
No, he definitely is, you know, and that's kind of the way West Virginia plays. That's how it is. You know, you saw Trey Lowe get in there. He's a freshman. Dano Holgerson, he brought it up a couple different times. He's – They got to play a lot of players because of that 4-game rule for the red shirt that normally wouldn't. So they got a nice little jump start.
Yeah, he averaged 8 yards a throw. Sorry, completion. Yeah. Excuse me.
Right, and they ended up being down four big starters. And again, Jack Allison getting thrown into that. You might be talented, but getting thrown into that kind of gauntlet, you know. I would have liked to have seen what, you know, Elton Robinson and McKinley Williams would have done. But either way, you know, we had guys step up. Tyrell Richards.
Yeah.
One being him. So it was just awesome to see that we could overcome that, you know, because they are a good team, man. They're deep. They got players. They're fast. They got athletes all over the place.
Yeah, and their defense wasn't much affected by people leaving, right? I think they had their full defense, right? We still put 30.
Well, they've had some early injuries that they've had to overcome. I think there was one guy that got hurt their last game that didn't get to play. But
well, we still put 34 points up on them. So, I mean, you know, yeah. could you know, Will Greer plays, you know, is it the same outcome? Probably not the same score. No. I don't know. Who knows?
No, probably not the same. No, probably not. But you could see that once we actually put pressure on him and actually took the lead later in the game, you could see, like, Allison started, you know, not doing so well with the pressure, you know.
He was rattled.
He was definitely rattled. Yeah. You know, Kendall Coleman got a sack. Guthrie got a sack. I mean, it was – we started pumping it up, and, you know, it was just a great atmosphere. I'm glad I got to make the trip, and I'm glad, you know, most importantly, that, you know, that we won. The senior class is really, like you mentioned it, with the future. Like, this senior class gets, I mean, they created that stepping stone. It's so huge when it comes to, like, the culture, you know, and if you have a culture of losing, then, like, the Robinson era and stuff like that, like, then you see what happens. You know, when you set up the team and your young players and the talent, I mean, that right now, these young guys are too, you know, they're too young to even remember how bad it was, you know, a couple of years, whatever, that, you know. And so now they're kind of used to winning. They know how to win. The seniors left it all out on the field. They won. They went 10-3, broke all those records, you know.
And we've only won 10 games in a season. This was only the 7th time. It's a huge deal. It doesn't sound like that big of a deal because, you know, when you look at college football, there's teams that do this all the time. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the program at all, but, you know, we're just not that kind of team, and we haven't been historically, obviously. And and so when you hear 10 wins, that you heard that all year, I did not realize we had only done it 6 previous times until the bowl game got closer.
Right.
So,
you know, and I've been talking to you about those transfers for a while, and it was, you know, awesome to see them out there.
Yeah, we did a
awesome
show on those. We talked about them.
Right. And, I mean, that's just like you said. I mean, you look at the backfield of Mo Neal being a senior with Jarvion Howard and Abdul Adams next year.
Oh. Yeah, Abdul Adams, 8 carries for 19 yards. You know, a couple of those were goal line, plus his touchdown was a goal line. Right. He got stuffed a couple times. But, you know, it was his first live game in over a year. So, well, I guess not. Yeah, it was probably over a year.
Well, the thing is that when you usually are sitting out and stuff like that, or you're redshirting, then a lot of times you're doing scout stuff on defense. You know, you're not running with the ones or the twos and the backups and getting ready. So they're not out there practicing with our offense, running the tempo and everything like that. They're more out there as the scout teams. You know, they're out there as the scout offense going against our number one defense, running the plays that, you know, that's basically how you break it down. You get a game plan. You know, the coaches go, they look at the film. So what do? They get scout offenses, they get scout defenses. So they have offenses that they put together that, you know, they're out there every week studying what our opponent does so that they can run against our defense with it in practice.
Right.
So they're not out there.
So
what's that?
Two touchdowns.
Oh yeah. Well, like I said, just for them to be able to play and get in there and be up to speed with our tempo, because like I said, they haven't been running that offense.
Yeah, and what Coach said is he accredited the wide receiver coaches and the running back coaches for getting those guys up to speed inside the offense, because he said if they weren't going to be able to keep up with Dungy and the rest of the offense, they weren't going to play. So right. We know Coach doesn't play favorites.
There's probably some guys out there that might not have. You know, so I mean, it kind of gives them a credit too, the fact that, you know, that they were in the playbook and that they were getting prepared and getting ready.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, that's
a lot of times you can't just do that in 2 weeks, through 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. So, especially when you got the holidays and you have finals that you're studying for and stuff like that. So, I mean, all the credit to those guys. And like we've talked about, like, they're very talented. So, and we have a bunch of other talented guys coming out. I saw on the sidelines Ed Hendricks, the receiver that was supposed to be playing like where Taj Harris was. Not saying Taj Harris doesn't earn it or anything, but through spring ball and up until when Ed Hendricks got hurt, he was the guy that, you know, they were talking about. And I saw him on the sidelines and he looks like a big boy.
Yeah.
It looks like he's been lifting, working his upper body. He's tall. And just, again, with the guys that we have coming back, we're only losing, what, Custis on the offense as far as receiver-wise, Dante Strickland, which we talked about. So, obviously, we know there's a lot of pressure on Tommy, but a lot of expectation on him as well. So
I mean, with Tommy DeVito coming in and you got some offensive linemen leaving, Coach had really praised the offensive line. I thought it was good.
Oh, huge, yeah. That's huge. And, again, the offensive and defensive line, like we talk about, we talked about it with Tyler, the trenches is what got us this 10-win season. And that's why Babers did what he did, like you said, in the press conference. And we're going to be losing three starters on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he thinks that there's two other guys that could have been starters waiting in the whims. But still, now you got to kind of go back and kind of reevaluate, get a you know, an offensive line together and have them start working together again. And then, you know, we're losing Chris Slayton, who, like, again, he talked about, is going to be one of the unsung heroes on the defense.
Well, on the offensive side, hold on the offensive side.
Okay.
You've got the three leaving. You got two that can definitely fill the void, he thinks. Coda Martin was really good, son-in-law.
Yep.
So you've got two guys that he think can fill some void, but you've got this year you had a quarterback in Eric Dungy that when things did break down, if there was trouble, Eric Dungy, if it weren't for him making plays on his feet a lot this year, he was going to be taken down a lot. He got taken down a lot as it was. So, yeah. And I know he holds the ball, but, you know,
he's a playmaker.
Right. But when
he
you look at it.
He has limitations as quarterback.
Right. But now you have a totally different
quarterback
coming in. Someone who's probably not going to be able to make plays on their feet. Probably not going to be able to do half the things that Eric Dungy could do like that. And so you've got big shoes to fill, bro. Yeah. I think he needs a little bit more protection is what I'm saying.
That's going to be huge because, again, like I've never played offensive line or defensive line, but I realize where the game's won and lost. And, again, that was a huge, huge part of our success this year with all those guys in the, you know, offensive line and, like I said, defensive line because, you know, Alton Robinson and Kendall Coleman don't put up their numbers without Chris Slayton there in the middle.
Right, and Chris Slayton was like, well, like you said earlier, he's double teamed so much he couldn't put up any numbers and he didn't get any accolades for it. But it doesn't matter because the work that he put in did show through other players. And that's what being on a team is all about. So
right. And you never really hear about it. And I'm glad that Babers did say something about it.
He did.
After the last game, he came out and he said something because
he did again
what?
After this game.
Right, and I'm saying as far as if you have read stories about Chris Slayton or some of the, you know, the write-ups over the years, and then even this, you know, a big part of it, you know, was the media day this year coming in and how it was Dungy and Slayton that were going to media day and how Chris Slayton was all shy. He's this big guy, but he's like a teddy bear and he's shy and he's humble and, you know, so he doesn't even care. And that's the kind of guy that you need on your team is guys like that, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that those guys ran the ball and did what they did this year and they were cool enough to, have, you know, Tristan Thompson and Abdul Adams come in and get some of the burn because they realize how hard they've worked, you know, and just knowing like how he always preaches family and just the unselfishness of this team is, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you need to be successful. Those are the little things. I mean,
yeah.
a selfish player or someone who's not out there for their brother on their left or their brother on their right. I mean, that loses games, that loses locker rooms, you know, that gets coaches fired. So, you know, that whole, again, it's the culture. And you have that whole culture of everyone stepping up for the person to their left and their right, and they don't care who gets the touchdown, who gets the points, who gets the limelight. They just care about winning together as a team. And then on top of that, our seniors being able to come out and, like I said, leave a winning culture. Like these guys, they're, even though they're young, they know how to win. They were taught how to win. And that's probably the biggest takeaway. I mean, I love Eric Dungy, love everything he's done and the 10 wins and this and that. But at the end of the day, the most important thing that they did was they left the culture of winning. And, it, you know, I think it's going to pay dividends, huge, huge dividends next year because, you know, in the past, we've lost good players, but we weren't winning. So, you know, the winning culture, that, I mean, when you know how to win, it's hard to explain, but, you know, they're just going to be ready. 10-3, and they're going to be hungry next year because they know what their potential is.
It puts a stamp on the program, and when you go back and talking about being humble and being, you know, being playing as a team and looking out for one another, that's why the whole Cooper Dawson story really caught my attention, is because you got someone like that, you can tell he's a team. Like, this guy is not a selfish guy. He's not going to be a selfish player. He's going to be great on a team that's oriented around family and brotherhood. Right. And I don't know how good he's going to do, but I know that, you know, how you play.
That's exactly what we need.
Right.
That's exactly what he's looking for. That's exactly what he preaches.
So,
and if that's the kind of kid you are and you got any type of talent, I mean, you're going to be interested in Babers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be interested in Syracuse. And again, like I said, that's the biggest thing. Is Dungy, he broke the records, and everyone's going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. I wish he could play forever, but
I know.
You know, this team, they left a legacy, a historical season, and it's just going to be a springboard with what to come. And I'm just really, really excited. I just hope that,
you know,
DeVito doesn't.
Go ahead. DeVito doesn't what?
No, I just worry because they're huge shoes to fill, and on top of the fact that
absolutely the leadership alone. I mean, we don't really know,
right? And as you know, he did come in, and you know, North Carolina game, Florida State game, he came in, and we know that the players underneath him are going to have faith in him. The coaches are going to have faith in him.
Sure,
but I mean, he has such huge expectations. Yeah. Huge expectations coming in, and then you had people questioning whether, and you know, we were part of that after you know, one game this year, but people questioning on who should be starting and who should be there, you know. So, you know, now, you know, Dungy, like he said, he kind of showed him the whip, and ever since then, Dungy's done what he's always done, and it's turned into a magical season. And now it's on to DeVito. The limelight's going to be on him, and you know, the pressure's on him to kind of live up to that kind of stuff. And I just hope that he just doesn't try to live up. I hope he just tries to be his own person, his own quarterback, and not be an Eric Dungy, because he's a completely different player, like you said. And you
know, he's got a little bit of strength. He's got no choice.
Well, right. And he's got a little bit of a stronger arm, and he's going to have to be more efficient when it comes to the passing game and when you're getting rushed to throw the ball away and not take a sack, because he's not going to have the playmaking ability and the little kind of, you know, ad-libbing that Eric Dungy does. Like, that's just not him. So,
and when you look at Eric Dungy and you say, you know, throughout the year, some people would say maybe, you know, well, he tries to do too much on his own. He's kind of a ball hog. You know, he's trying to make plays on his own all the time. He doesn't throw the ball enough. He's always taking off running. That is definitely not. I mean, you could tell by his post-game interview how humble, thankful, grateful, and just down to earth this guy is, okay?
Yeah.
Those things were not out of trying to be a star all by himself. Those things were, that is his mentality. His mentality is, you know, I'm going to get that first down, or I'm going to get whatever I can. I'm going to get in the end zone or whatever. That is all about winning to him, is winning.
Right.
He said it himself. He just wants to compete. It's just who he is.
Yeah. And based off that press conference, like just like you said, to hear that, like, I mean, who doesn't want a guy like that?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I mean,
it
emotionally
broke my
just
heart listening
to that. Oh, God. Yeah, it really did, dude. I mean, it's just to be, because he probably feared for the fact of him being able to play with Babers. And
I know. If you know his story at all, no one wanted him. He was trying.
Oh, yeah,
he was trying everywhere around Washington, or where was he?
He's from Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, yeah.
He didn't get, no, I mean, he was getting a look from, they said that Oregon State never offered, but they were kind of interested. But, like, I mean, it was like Air Force, the Wyoming, like the Mountain West teams were like some of the only ones that were kind of looking at him.
I'm glad.
Schaefer's the one that gave him a chance, you know.
Yeah, and exactly.
I remember watching his highlight tape when he was, in high school. And I just watched, and I mean, it was the same person that I watched the other night, like same exact way that they played. Even in high school, it was the same thing, running, just diving, trying to dive over people. I mean, like I said, you can go back and you can watch it. It's the same thing, just 40 pounds lighter and 5 years younger.
Yeah.
And it's in high school.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm glad. And when I saw that we gave him a scholarship and he came to Syracuse, I was hopeful that, you know, he had the playmaking ability to at least do a better than some of the other quarterbacks that we had, you know.
Yeah, and he just wanted to play. He just wanted a shot.
And that's all you saw when you watched his high school tape. It was just a competitor. He didn't care about, you know, it wasn't like, oh, the pass isn't there, I'm going to throw it away. It was like, the pass isn't there, okay, I'm going.
Right.
You know, so, and that's, you can get away with that in college, and especially when you can, you know, when you're smart and you're just that, I mean, God. Just that competitive, kind of heart. Like, some people don't have those.
That's a character thing, and it's a personality thing, and you either got it or you don't. You can't fake it. It can't be
adrenaline junkie, almost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you remember all those times that he was
off season.
Yeah. Well, you remember all those times. Remember when he would get just blasted or something on the sideline, and he'd pop up, it'd be a first down. He'd be like, he would just get right back in the dude's face. He got in someone's face the other night during the bowl game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because he took a cheap shot, too. He took a couple cheap shots.
Yep.
And he did, and, you know, they only got the one, they only called
one
of them.
Don't get me started with those refs.
Oh, I know.
Get in with that delay of game.
I know. I mean, don't even start me on not resetting the game clock and calling a delay of game penalty. How stupid is that?
Yeah, well, you have two refs pumping up their hand to replay the clock, and then one guy blows the whistle and throws the flag, and
they can't confer and be like, no, we're saying reset the clock, and they never did it.
Nope. Yeah. I don't know. It was bad from the beginning,
disaster.
But
yeah,
it ended up evening out a little bit at the end. But I mean, there was some. I mean, I know
bit,
Jamal Custis had, there was a pass interference or some kind of hold on the side on one of the Jamal Custis throws that was pretty obvious. So, but.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever. We won. We prevailed. So,
and I don't know how.
See the video of them.
Who
singing?
Yes. What was it?
Take me home.
Take me home.
Yeah. That's West Virginia's song. Sarah was singing in the locker room.
I know. Did we retweet that? I think we did.
I don't know, but
I think we did. But
whatever. It is what it is. It's the Schwarzwalder Trophy and the Camping World Trophy all in one.
Yeah, Schwarzwalder Trophy. That they didn't bring. They stopped bringing that to those games, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
the West Virginia
Bulls don't count. Whatever.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the only time we play them. So, okay. Well, look, I will say this again. I love Dungy. I hope he sticks around somehow, some way. I don't think he's wanting to stay in Syracuse. He's probably going to go back home, so I don't know how often we're going to see this guy, but man,
well,
the memories will last forever. That's all.
He's
going to
get a look.
He will.
The memory's going to last forever, yes.
Obviously,
Like you put up with the meme. Like, he's definitely, I mean, he's got to be, it's tough because.
What, my Mount Rushmore? My Mount Dungy?
Yeah.
My Mount Dungy meme?
You can only pick four, and when you go through generations, there's going to be people to talk about.
I had him up there. I had Ernie Davis. I had Jim Brown. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, you got Floyd Little. You've got, you know, Dwight Freeney most recently.
Donovan McNabb.
Don McPherson. Yeah. And then so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to.
Chandler Jones is pretty good.
I stopped.
Yeah, there was a lot.
I stopped. I just left it at Dungy, and I put it up.
Oh, so you just put him up next to Lincoln?
Yeah. I figured, hey, he can represent America as far as I'm concerned.
I guess. I mean.
But,
I mean, you never know. I think he's going to get a shot. I think he's going to get a shot. I think he'll be able to put up good enough numbers in the combine. I don't know how good his pro day will be with throwing. I think that's probably going to be his biggest issue. But again, you've seen people come out of nowhere. You've seen people get graded bad. So Who knows with the NFL? At this point, I mean, I know we've speculated back and forth. We talked about it with Tyler about what position he could play, this and that. At this point, I mean, I'm kind of done talking about it because I'm done.
Well, like, the broadcasters who he reminds you of off the Saints there. Help me out.
Taysom Hill. Oh, they did. Taysom Hill?
Yeah. The broadcaster said that during the bowl game. So you said it first, and you heard it here first on the Q's Militia podcast, that comparison.
Oh, nice. Obviously, I can't hear broadcasters, so I didn't know that. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm never going to put anything, like, on Eric Dungy that he can't do. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there's been so many times where I've said this, I've said that. Oh, I think he's a great college quarterback, but I don't know if his arm strength is gonna be good enough for the NFL. Like,
his arm strength is good.
I'm not doubting him at all anymore. Like,
at
you know,
all? At all? Are you sure?
I'm just, you know what I mean.
At
I'm
all?
Not going at all.
You just went to Canada, man. I thought you went to Orlando.
Sorry. I mean, I could have drove to Canada, in 12 and a half hours.
Yeah, no
Holy
kidding.
Holy good night.
All right, well.
No, dude, I'm not going to put any type of, yeah, I'm not going to doubt him anymore, man. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I know. We're such.
You know, at this point, I'm done doubting him. I'm just going to root for him and hope the best for him. I know he's going to try to get in the league. And,
we'll
you know, before
happens.
We go on to the next segment and fan feedback and everything, I just wanted to just kind of give a, just a shout out and just congrats to like the Syracuse fans that got out there. I mean, just we had a huge, huge showing. I think that it was huge for us to be able to travel well and prove to certain bowl committees. That's a pretty decent bowl that we were at, and to prove that we can travel, because I really, really do think that that we're going to be in some bowl
games.
We're going like
to be in some bowl
games, possibly
and
even
listen,
better
listen,
in the near future. So
we're gonna contend. I say within. Within 5 years, I think it's safe to say. Between 3 and 5, possibly. Contend for an ACC championship.
Really? I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be sooner.
Well, I mean, it could be. I don't like putting a timeline on things, to be honest with you. But they will. Syracuse, as long as Dino Babers is there and he's doing what he's doing, it's only going to go up, you guys. And that's the God's honest truth, because with the way he's running this program, and after this year, and the amount of airtime that Syracuse is going to get next year, the amount of airtime that Dino Babers got this year, I'm talking nationally recognized ESPN. You know, he's on Jim.
They might be preseason ranked.
Yeah, it could be, So I'm just saying, all that helps recruiting, and that's
where it starts.
That's where it starts.
You see the number next to that name.
Yeah.
You see a double digit win. I mean, you beat teams like West Virginia. Two out of our three losses were two teams that made the college football playoff. You know, one of only two teams that have been able to beat Clemson the past 2 years.
Yeah, the other one being Alabama.
Alabama being the only one. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, we gave up one to Pitt, but
You lose bad games. Sometimes you lose the ones you're supposed to win.
Right. And again, I think we talked about the fact again is the winning culture and learning how to overcome obstacles. We lost to Clemson at Clemson
by 3 points or whatever
loss,
that was.
And then the next week we went to Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, and we allowed Clemson to beat us again, and our defense just couldn't shut it down. So, but then later on,
but
in
we
the year,
fixed the like, we fixed some of that run defense stuff though.
Well, yeah, we did. And then at the end, by the end of the year, we get, you know, Notre Dame happened, and then the very next week,
and Dungy,
what did we
didn't
do?
Play much
we
of that
came
game
back.
Either,
we came back. We went to BC. And we proved that, you know, we got over that obstacle of letting a loss haunt us the next game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean,
on the road, too, which was huge.
Oh, yeah. So, I was big on BC this year. BC's not a bad team.
Right, I know.
So, I mean, you look at some of the teams we beat, and, like, again.
I mean, you don't just I know Louisville stinks, but they crushed Louisville at home.
No, Louisville was bad this
year. They're terrible, but it's still college football. I mean, you know, it's still ACC play. They crushed them. They destroyed them. And,
right.
You know. But yeah. You know,
but Babers is starting to get his guys up there where they're starting to get the experience in a couple of years in the strength and conditioning program. They're buying in and what he's selling, and that's the most important thing. And the fact that they've learned how to win, they've learned how to let the next play, the next game go, and just go and get it the next time. And that's huge. That mentality, that culture is one of the biggest things. You need to have the confidence and just the swagger for lack of a better word, to be able to overcome a bad play or a bad game. So
absolutely,
I'm just excited, and I'm glad that our fans could show up and show out like they did, because it was pretty impressive.
Absolutely. So you heard from us. I know it ran long. I just think it was – I think there's probably more to be said. But if this were a daily show, I'd do more tomorrow. But I think we summed it up pretty good. So now it's time to hear from you.
From you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, it is time for the fan feedback top 10. Y'all know what to do. You go to at Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter, the universal handle, and we propose a question after every game except for the St. Bonaventure game, because I did not do that because I knew we would just not have enough time to get it done. And so, in case you were wondering, so we just stuck to bowl stuff. And the first one we got here, I guess I'm starting with...
Number 10.
Number 10. From Facebook, Aaron says, unbelievable, so beyond excited right now. They came through and together when it mattered the most. Bunch of orange emojis. Yeah. They did. They had a rough first half, and they made the right adjustments and came out and did their thing, and I don't know what else we would have expected, right? Because they've kind of, minus the Notre Dame game, things, you know, tightened up in most of those other games for the most part. Paul says, bittersweet for two reasons. One, we won, so that's the good part. Two, football season is effectively over, and for me, since my beloved Giants absolutely effing suck this season again, Joe, you can relate slightly, right?
Did you pick that as number 9 to piss me off?
Pretty much. So.
Well, thank you.
Well,
again, today they lose the game in Giants form for this year, right at the end of the game.
Yeah, well, Raiders lost the game in Raiders form this year. They got blown out, so who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
I mean, but because of Syracuse, it's unfortunate.
I got Syracuse sports, and if I have Syracuse sports in my NASCAR, I don't really care. I really don't. Okay. Richard says, great game. The future is bright. Yeah, we touched on that, right, Joe? I mean,
yes, sir.
It's going to be a different team. It's going to be a different look. But, man, has the foundation been laid for success?
Yeah. And the culture been changed.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
So.
Dino Babers, you can thank him for that, because he is just, man, I don't know. They don't come around
like
that.
I'm glad we extended that guy.
They don't come around like that very often, just like I said about Eric Dungy. Just one of a kind. Jerry says, this was a team effort. So proud of our defense and Dungy. Jake,
yes.
I love this one. This is at jcarpenter74. This would be number one. Eventually, I'm gonna rank these, but today's not that day. At jcarpenter74, proud of the way these guys played all year. Looking to next season, Adams and Jackson look like two studs for us. Never rebuild, just reload. That's exactly what we're doing, baby. We're reloading. We're going to reload this thing, and, you know, it's going to be great.
No, the rebuild is almost complete.
Yeah.
Once we get there, then again, like he said, it's the reload. And you can start to see that, you know, like even this year, a lot of times we've said, okay, well, we're losing these guys. Who's going to step up? But now we kind of can see. So,
yeah. You're reloading a lot of stuff. Andre Sisco, I mean, this guy's talented defensive back as they come. And he's a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we got a lot of talented
Taj
guys
Harris,
that are coming back.
Another freshman that just killed it this year. Some of these freshmen were like leaps and bounds ahead of where I would have expected them. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, not to mention the Lou Groza Award winner.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. The old Schmitty. So All right, at Oil Cuse, the offensive line in the first half played awful. Whatever they changed at halftime certainly worked. I absolutely loved seeing Adams and Jackson out there. They are going to be awesome. Where's James on guitar? Well, James on guitar is still here. He's back. He's back. Captain Patrick, calm down. The Christmas music is done. Okay?
Yep. Yeah, no, that's actually interesting because – I was actually, when I got to the game, I was in line to grab some beers before I headed to the seats. And I actually, the guy in front of me, he was an old Syracuse player, offensive lineman back in the 80s, and played with Tim Green, Don McPherson, and stuff like that. And we were talking a little bit of football, and then halftime came out, ran into him again. And, you know, I asked him, you know, being a lineman, you know, being Syracuse, you know, former player, I'm just, you know, what do you see? You know, we got to do a little bit different, this, this, and that. And he actually was talking about the offensive line play and how they didn't play good and how they had to adjust to the blitzes and the way that the defense was attacking their offense. So that's kind of funny that you actually picked that.
Yeah, well, we got another one here. Our buddy, at Joe Pasek, he is the I think he's the Joe Georgievich chief. Fan club chief, I believe, right? Isn't that his official position? Thank God.
I don't really have positions. He's just a buddy.
Thank God the O-line finally remembered they weren't in practice. Once the O got rolling, there was no stopping them. The defense stopped a high-octane opponent. Can't wait to see how they improve next year. Great win to cap off a great season. Yeah, you know, sending Dungy out into the sunset with the MVP for the bowl game. Quite a storybook ending, and you couldn't ask for a better way to cap off the season. Absolutely. If not now, when? 84. And Mike is going to – he's going to have to shorten his handle, don't you think? I feel like
– Are you complaining about how long a handle is right now? Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I am. It's like 180 characters.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like – with that second half, we would have still beat them if Will Greer played. Good game. Go Cues. Yeah, well, there's no telling. That's the beauty of that statement.
So, yeah, I'm not going to even speculate.
I don't even want to think about it. But
no.
I was not afraid of Will Greer. He worried me, but I was not afraid. Like, because I know that defense, they got carved up a lot of times throughout the season.
And yeah, but Will Greer was he's a little bit more seasoned on getting away from the rush to
absolutely.
Pass.
It would be a whole different ball game on offense.
I'd probably imagine that they might have been up a little bit, you know, more than.
Well, sure. I think that goes without saying. Sure, they would have had more points.
No.
But like I said, we still scored 34 on their defense.
Yeah,
I know. I don't care if they scored them in the last 5 seconds. Still scored them.
All right.
Okay, at Harris44_TL, the ref laughing with Dungy on the run down the field. Joe, did you catch that?
I did not catch that.
Okay, it was great
at the game, but I did see it afterwards. That was
okay. That was that play. The play we talked about. The oh crap hell yeah play. And the ref was just like must have been. I don't know if he said something to the ref or what, but they looked at each other, and the ref was definitely chuckling with him, and it was a beautiful moment, if you ask me. I thought it was great.
No, I'm sure there's refs that enjoy watching certain players play. You know, it's one of those plays that, you know.
They're sports fans, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I would imagine. I mean, if you're a ref, then you love the game of football.
Sure, and you know it, and you
can see the crazy plays when they come. So
you're supposed to be unbiased, and most of these guys are – judges act like real judges in real life.
Yeah, well, you know, like what Dino Babers said too. I mean, Eric Dungy has been. I mean, you don't see those plays every day,
right?
You know, in those type of situations, you know, you just don't see those kind of plays.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. At @Plant_Brandon, Dungy got the send off to end his career. He deserved. Yeah, we mentioned that absolutely. So, enough can't be said about this year's football team. Blown our expectations just
away.
Straight out of the water. I mean,
yep.
I would have never guessed. I picked them to go at least 6-6. I'm not afraid to
I thought maybe they could win 7 games, 8 with a bowl, but I mean, I thought that was max.
Yeah, and, you know, another year going 6-6 or something like that, heading to another Pinstripe Bowl. Just when you look at it in retrospect and think that that could have happened, or that's where our expectations were, boy, it just puts a smile on my face, man.
Oh, yeah, well, that could have happened, and we still would have been happy about it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's my point. That's what I'm comparing it to, being happy to being, you know, freaking ecstatic. So that's the difference.
Right.
So football done. Thank you guys for an amazing football season. Yeah. And this is our big. This was our biggest season. It was our second full season of covering Syracuse football, and I just loved it. It was so much fun this year, and I just hope that next year is going to be just as fun. But we do have recruiting and stuff that's going to go on. I think we're going to get with Tyler again on some of that stuff leading into next year over the off season. So, but it's on to basketball, man. On to basketball.
Yeah, it just proved that, I mean, winning heals everything. And now we come next year, expectations are going to be high, but I hope that the community stays together. And then, you know, hopefully what this does, and I think we'll see it early next year, is what's the spring game going to look like? You know, what's the first game of the season?
It's going to be more interest in those things.
Are people going to pick the game over the fair? The game over apple picking.
Apple picking.
The game over certain, you know. I mean, this is the kind of things that.
Skiff. Go to the dome.
You know, in the beginning of the year, there wasn't too big expectations. This is going to change everything. So again, like I said, winning cures all. And judging by the people that travel to the bowl game and just the fan support and how, you know, we've grown and our downloads have gone up during this
football
media
season. Social media just insane.
Yes, so. I mean, thank you to the fans and, you know, just
our followers,
come next year,
everybody
come just
who listens.
As hard right from the beginning. Don't wait till we get to bowl eligibility. Don't wait till we get to ranked or 4-1 or, you know, whatever. Start from the beginning, and I hope that carries on to next year.
All right, Syracuse football, thank you for a spectacular 2018 season. Thank you. All right, Joe. It's an awkward switch into talking about football, but
no, the basketball team took the football team's momentum right.
Yeah, are talking about basketball right now. I know they took the momentum away. We're not used to that at all. But here we are. We're going to hit up the St. Bonaventure game real quick. And, you know, the Orange finish 9-4 in non-conference play this year. Not ideal finish, but
nope.
I think there's plenty of games left to make up for that. In fact, historically, it's basically, you know, death to basketball, 9-4 historically. So
right. We'll
see if they can overcome that. And I know the last two opponents haven't been the toughest competition, but I think there's been visible improvement on both sides of the ball. I think the energy and effort has been the best it's been all year so far. And I know, again, it was the last two opponents. They weren't the spectacular, but you got to judge by what you see. So free throw percentage has improved. We've talked, it doesn't matter if you're shooting free throws against St. Bonaventure or Duke, you make them. And the shots have been dropping better. Battle hit 100% from the field against St. Bonaventure. He led Cuse with 21 points. Hughes again followed up. He was 6 for 10 from the field with 16 points. Probably Merrick's best game of the year so far. He was all over the place doing his thing as usual. He started at center again, and he finished with 9 points and 5 rebounds. Buddy shot 50% from the floor and finished with a career-high 12 points. The Orange as a team shot for 58% from the field, 6 for 17 from distance, and hit 17 of 22 of their free throws. The Bonnies turned the ball over 25 times, resulting in 32 points for Syracuse. And with the help of some pretty good ball movement, Syracuse assisted on 19 of the 29 shots that they sunk. Syracuse lost the rebound battle 31-29, which, by the way, the Bonnies was led by former Syracuse recruit O'Shun. It's O'Shun. O'Shunny, by the way.
Oh, he was saying it wrong.
You think so?
I don't know.
He came off the bench, by the way. So Syracuse
leads.
Yeah,
he played 31 minutes, though.
Yes, he did. Syracuse leads that series all time at 25-4 with the Bonnies. So Joe, I'm giving Syracuse the benefit of the doubt compared to the opponent. I think it feels different. It looks different. And
it is.
I mean, what do you think?
It is different. They're moving the ball around a lot more. It's not just about the big three or the main guy. Like, it just looks like they're playing like within themselves. They're not forcing things. They're passing it around. And I mean, there's only three guys that took over five shots. You know, Buddy Boeheim shot 4-8, Hughes shot 6-10, and Battle went 8-8. So, I mean, it's more or less pretty obvious that they were kind of going with the hot hand. I mean, O'Shea Brissett went 2-5. He only shot 5 times. So, you know, they were going with the flow. They were hitting the open guys, and the guys, if they were open, they were shooting, but they were spreading it around. And, like, again, it's starting to become a little bit more unselfish on offense. And, you know, again, you don't know, because obviously St. Bonaventure, I don't think their defense is too great, but also – based off the turnovers, we had a lot of fast break points and stuff like that. So, you know, we weren't stuck.
I think it was 12 points off of fast breaks off those turnovers.
So we weren't stuck in, you know, half-court offense sets against a solid defense, you know, too many times. So, again, that could be a part of it. Again, we were talking about the opponents and stuff. But just based upon the way that they played and the way they've been playing the last two games and, like, again, moving the ball around, like you said, the assists that they've had, I mean, they usually never do that. So – I'll take 17-22 from the free throw line and just, you know, passing the ball around and basically keeping it to the hot hand. I mean, between the three players that shot more than five shots, they all shot over 50%.
How about Marek?
Hit a three?
He hit a three, but he does it. He puts out a better pick and roll than Chukwu has. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, they've been spreading it out a little bit more. Only one person battle played over 30 minutes. So, you know, he's keeping the fresh legs out there. And I think they're just playing more as a team. They're not just trying to play a little bit loose. Oh, God, Tyus Battle had 6 steals. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just had so many steals. Yeah, I mean,
due to the competition, though.
And that's what it is. I mean, they lost their top two guards, and it was pretty obvious that their guards were not ready for what we had to offer. And, you know, you know, lose 4 non-conference games, like, we're coming out and we're going for blood for these last two to get to 9-4 and not lose again in the non-conference and just get to this ACC.
Yeah, but like you said, I think the energy and effort, that's kind of the big thing. Everything roots out from the energy and the effort. Things will...
Well, it's easy to be, you know, energized and give effort when you start off 17-2.
Yeah, but sure. But that was the best two halves of basketball they played back to back all year. I mean, it was the only full game they've ever played. And I know, like I said, the competition was subpar. But
we've played bad halves or in games against bad teams this year too. Cornell.
Sure. I mean, yes. Sure. it is what it is.
You're right.
It is what it is. But we can only judge and go off of what we are presented, and that's what we're presented. Mm-hmm. So, okay,
right.
Let's take a look though at the next. Let's take a look at the next.
You definitely think that Oshun, he outplayed Chukwu.
Well, yeah, I mean Chukwu. What do you get? 15 minutes. I mean, what did Chukwu even do? Let's see.
2 points.
2 points.
3 steals.
6 rebounds, though. And 3 steals, and Oshun, he had
blocks.
7 rebounds, 3 blocks,
4 points,
and 4 points. So, but he had more minutes.
Yeah.
So it might be a wash. Let's call it a wash. But Oshun is a freshman. So.
Yeah.
And Sidibe or Chukwu is a senior. So if you take a look at the next, I'm gonna go 5 games. We got at Notre Dame. That preview for that game will be normal, like recorded on Wednesday night probably, and then that's going to be kind of tough. But if we can get by that and get Clemson at home and Georgia Tech at home, you know, you could possibly start. You can start possibly.
Just spitballing here.
You could possibly start though 3-0 in conference play heading into Duke at Duke.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah,
and then you got Pitt back at home.
Yeah, I think looking at these next,
you could go six.
I mean,
you could go all the way to Miami.
I mean,
at home.
I think going six. I mean, if you break, you know, the conference games into segments of six, three segments of six, then
sure, that's a good idea, right?
You know, so I mean, at Notre Dame, like you said, is a winnable game, and then we have, you know, Clemson, Georgia Tech at home, and then right after we play at Duke, which, you know, I'm going to be realistic on that and kind of just not even talk about that. But then we go home against Pitt and home against Miami.
Duke's in another league.
Well, yeah, but we have four home games right there against conference opponents that I think were more talented then. So
yeah,
and we only have the two, you know. So I mean, looking at that six game stretch, I mean,
you could go 5-1.
To have a legit, I mean, you want at minimum 4-2,
right? If you give up, I mean, maybe Notre Dame and maybe Miami.
It's Duke.
Well, it's Duke, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought
it's Duke. Yeah, so I mean, Duke. Out of those other five, I mean, realistically, like I said, I mean, we've dug ourselves a hole. Like obviously, we're always going to have a chance at the end of the year when it comes to the conference, you know, tournament. But when we get to that point, we're going to know if we're in, if we're on the bubble, or if we're out. So right now, I'm looking at that and I'm saying that we got to win those home games. At minimum, you got to win those home games. And if, you know, we start off with an at Notre Dame, then, you know, maybe we go 5-1 out of the next six, or, you know, we maybe lose one. We shouldn't, but either way, I think 4-2 getting us to 13-6 still keeps us in the running. Cause again, I mean, we know what that number is and our strength schedule is going to be up there. A lot of our numbers are going to be high as far as helping us.
I mean, we get to play Pitt twice. So, you know, I don't know what.
Yeah, but then we get to play Duke twice.
Yeah, we get to play Duke twice, but we only have to play North Carolina once, and we only have to play Virginia once.
That's true.
So when you play Clemson twice, Clemson's a team that I think we're really close in talent. And
no, Clemson and Miami are going to be tough. Miami's always got that. He's got that 1 3-point shooter. Don't even Vasilevich or whatever, that he just always hurts us. So, but again, at their
Virginia
home
Tech.
Games. Virginia Tech's going to be tough. That's without a doubt. So again,
we're spitballing. We're going way ahead.
Yeah,
Sticking with the first six games, we'll take Notre Dame on Wednesday, and we'll let you know what to expect. But if you can come out of that 4-2, you know, that's a good. I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
5-1 would be great.
Right. So, that would be great.
But all right. Well, we kept it right at an hour. So. That's good, right? That's good. That was a lot in there. So,
yeah.
Hey, thanks to, thanks James on guitar. Thanks Shoppingtown Barbershop. Thanks to JP Mulligans. Thank you, Armchair All-Americans. My bookie. Thanks to all of you. Huh?
You want to do the poll?
Poll? I didn't do a poll.
Oh, I mean, you did a Christmas movie thing, but.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Bonus time, everybody. Bonus time.
Bonus time.
All right. Well, so
if you want to hear sports, then you can just stop it now.
So I don't ever post anything on social media that's not Syracuse oriented sports, Syracuse oriented. Okay. But it was Christmas time.
Bah humbug.
And it was Christmas Eve. And I saw a lot of people posting all their top five favorite Christmas movies, right? So I posted mine. And they're always subject to change. And I'm trying to even remember what I even put here. I'm trying to scroll through here. Okay. I'm going to go out of order of what I even put just the other day on Christmas Eve. But here they are. And I'll tell you the controversy. Got a lot of feedback on this. 30 comments on Twitter alone. I'm going to go at number 5. I'm going Home Alone. 4, Christmas Vacation. 3, The Grinch with Jim Carrey. 2 is The Elf. With what's his name there? And number one is it, for me this year, number one was A Christmas Carol, 2009 version with Jim Carrey. It was awesome. It was so good. It was so good.
Never seen it.
So, I had never seen Die Hard. So everybody's telling me, oh, you don't have Die Hard on there. Where's Die Hard?
Right.
How could this list even be legit? You don't even have Die Hard on here. Why? How is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Because the whole thing is based around a Christmas party.
It happens on Christmas Eve.
It's at a
you got guys
Christmas
blowing
party.
Lines of cocaine. You got people getting their heads blown off. The only guy in the whole movie with a Santa hat on is dead.
Dude, that happens at Christmas sometimes.
Joe has not a leg to stand on when we're talking about Christmas. No, you don't. Because I can't even squeeze a Merry Christmas out of you. You're such a Scrooge. You hated the Christmas music. I had cut new Christmas music for the show. You hated it. You hated the festive sleigh bells. At the... There's no...
Listen,
people don't get their brains blown out on Christmas, okay?
Dude, it happens, bro.
Yippee-ki-yay, hey. Mother effer, hey. Is not a tagline for a Christmas movie.
It is if you're a cowboy. Look it. Remember Christmas Eve, George Washington, he crossed the river.
He did cross the river.
He snuck up on some people, and he killed people in their sleep on Christmas.
America
was built on that, and that was Die Hard. That was a rendition, but just in the future.
Yeah, but Joe, no one's made a movie about the American Revolution and claimed it was a Christmas movie because George Washington crossed the Delaware on Christmas Eve. And if you
allegedly.
Were, allegedly, he did. What are you talking about allegedly? What do we got?
Allegedly no one's made the movie.
Oh.
Look.
Hold on. The Die Hard could
do
be
I get
set
a top five?
Yes, you do. Die Hard could be set anywhere at any time of the year. Does not need to be at Christmas. Every movie I've mentioned is a Christmas themed movie. They can only happen. Those movies can only happen around Christmas.
Dude.
There's no Christmas carols in the movie. There's none. They sing Let It Snow. Let It Snow is not a Christmas carol.
What do you
mean? It's a winter song. No, come on. And Bruce Willis said so. Bruce Willis said it's not a Christmas movie. Yes, I did.
Oh, that's baloney.
No, this is a text because I had the same argument with my cousin.
And he took your side too.
So to be fair, just hear me out. Bruce Willis said it's not a Christmas movie. Bruce Willis actually weighed in and said, Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie. It's a GD Bruce Willis movie.
Right.
Okay. So he said it himself. It's not a Christmas movie. Now, this is not to say that Die Hard is not a good movie, because I came home on Christmas Eve and I bought it on Amazon and I watched it and I thought it was great. Great movie? Great movie? Not a Christmas movie. Go ahead, Joe, with your top five.
Okay. I would go.
Start with five. You got to count up, man. Keep us in suspense.
All right. Five, I'll go Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase.
Okay, that's four for me. Okay, keep going.
All right, okay. I'll go Scrooge, Bill Murray.
Oh, it's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I didn't
really
see too much
one.
Of that up there. So
I know. It's a good one, though. Did you read all the comments on Facebook and Twitter for that? For that post?
Yeah, I watched some.
Oh, okay.
I saw some.
Because there was Scrooge was up there.
Right. I'll go classic Grinch Who Stole Christmas for the little inkling of Christmas I remember from my childhood.
From the inkling that you didn't shove down deep and just let fester and set on fire.
Number two, Die Hard.
Don't say Lethal Weapon.
I said Die Hard.
Okay, don't say Lethal Weapon for number one, because that's my cousin's. He said Lethal Weapon's a Christmas movie. It's not.
No. My number one is, Eight Crazy Nights?
Oh, Eight Crazy Nights is a Hanukkah movie, Joe.
No, it's a holiday movie. Just because Adam Sandler's Jewish in that, not everyone in that is Jewish.
It's called
it's not a whole
Eight
Jewish
Crazy
community.
Nights.
Right, because the main character's Jewish, but technically it's Hanukkah goes on during Christmas, right?
No, Hanukkah's
it's
before
a holiday
Christmas.
Movie. It's a holiday movie.
But we're not talking about holiday movies.
The other people in the movie was celebrating Christmas.
Eight Crazy
and then, you know,
Nights. I love that movie. I do.
It's a good movie. Come on. Are you really? I mean, that's a better argument than Die Hard.
I will.
Come on.
Hey, Joe, thank you. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That is a better argument than Die Hard. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Well, if you've stayed this long, I appreciate it. So I got battered about the Die Hard thing, and I still have yet to find someone to really agree with me. So I guess, you know, I'll stand out on this ledge by myself, guys. You can leave me out here. That's fine.
Look, it could be a Bruce Willis movie first. It doesn't mean it's not a Christmas movie still.
Yeah, it's not a Christmas movie. All right, but I said thanks to everybody, but especially thanks to you guys. Especially thanks to the 2018 Syracuse football season.
Yes.
And Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating in fan feedback. Thanks to James on guitar. I'm not going to go through it all again. That's it. We are back. Joe, thank you.
Yes.
And for Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Hey!
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.